Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of these radio programs. There are 30-minute videos on different subjects listed there, and also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. We also have some information about us on our website. Please go out there and take a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Come with an open mind, an open Bible, study God's Word with us, worship with us, and let us show you a need for God in your life. You have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been looking at the answer to Bible questions. Our question today has to do with, on what day did the early church take the Lord's Supper? Well, there's only one place in the Bible that we can go to answer that, and it's in Acts 20 in verse number 7. In Acts 20 and verse 7, the scripture says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Now, the Lord's Supper, we need to explain what that is. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It was instituted by the Lord on the night that he was betrayed in Matthew 26. And verse 26 through 29. During the time of the Passover, prior to his arrest, he had the last Passover with his disciples. And he used that time as an opportunity to institute a memorial. It would be two emblems: the unleavened bread that would remind them and represent his body that was going to be given on the cross. And then the fruit of the vine was going to be in remembrance of the blood that he would shed in that sacrifice, and they were to do that in memory of him. And the Bible says, as often as they did it, they did show the Lord's death until he comes. And then in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it showed that the church in Corinth was misusing their responsibility and their duty in taking the Lord's Supper, and they were doing it in a way that was corrupting it, and they were treating it as a common meal and not a spiritual meal, and they were rebuked for it, and they were told that they needed to do it in a way that they discerned the Lord's body. What's that mean? That means to look in the mind's eye. That means to realize what you're doing. Take your mind and your heart back to Calvary. Take it back to that sacrifice. And when you take the bread, understand that it's to remind us of the body that hung upon the cross and that was suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours, and it was given for our sin. And then when you take the fruit of the vine, you're to remember the blood that came out with water when Jesus was already dead, and the soldier put the spear in his side to make doubly sure that he was dead, and both blood and water came forth. Those are emblems to remind us of the great pain, the anguish, and the sacrifice and the love that Jesus had for us when he died. And by the way, that is the only memorial in all of Scripture that we are required and commanded by God to remember in order to demonstrate our love for him. We're not commanded in anywhere in Scripture to remember his birthday, as people just did here in December, that we're not required to do that because there's no example of any church doing that. There's no example of a command that was required. And the same thing about the resurrection of Christ. That will be later this year when they supposedly are going to remember his resurrection at a holiday that they refer to as Easter. There is no biblical precedence for that. The only biblical precedent for a memorial in memory of the Lord, there's only one. And it's the Lord's Supper. How often is it to be done? It's to be done on the first day of the week. Now, maybe you're listening this morning and you want to know, well, which one? Well, in Exodus 20 and verse 8, God in the Old Testament through the law of Moses told the Jews to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, did the Jews ask which one? Or were they required to keep every Sabbath holy? They never asked which one. They understood that the Sabbath came every week. And if it came every week, then it was to be remembered every week. The first day of the week comes every week. The Lord's Day on Sunday comes every first day of the week. It comes 52 times in a year. And so every Lord's Day, we are to commemorate in a memorial the Lord's Supper and remember that it's the body and the blood of the Lord. And as often as we do that, we do show his death till he comes. If Acts 20 and 7 were not in the Bible, this approved example of what Paul did with the brethren in Troas. And by the way, if you read the account, you'll see that he tarried for 8 days in order that he would be there on the first day of the week so he could meet with the disciples to break bread. So you see, there was a common practice in the first century that they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Now, if there are many different religious organizations that might do it every other week, or do it once a month, or have special communion services, maybe twice or three times a year. My question to them is, where's the authority for that? Where is the scripture that allows you to use that particular Lord's Supper in that manner? I can go and show that they did it on the first day of the week as a regular practice. If you say it's every other, if you say it's once a month, if you say it's twice a year, where does the scripture teach that? Where do you get that you can exempt yourself from all these other Sundays and yet say that you have fulfilled the commandment of God? The approved example in the New Testament is the first day of the week. And I submit to you that every first day of the week comes every week. Therefore, it should be done every first day of the week. Here in the Lord's church, we don't have a communion Sunday. We don't have a special communion Sunday. Every Sunday is communion Sunday. Every Lord's Day is communion with the Lord. And we're to do it with the right attitude and in the proper reverence. We are to remember what it represents. We are to do it in a way that our mind and hearts are back on Calvary, or we will drink damnation to ourselves, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The other thing that we need to remember and notice is that the Lord's Supper is only taken on Sunday. Let me give you an illustration. When I was in Las Vegas, I was also preaching in the prison. When I started going out there, the man who had it before me, we were going out on Thursdays. Well, on Thursdays, I noticed one Thursday that he gave the Lord's Supper to the brethren who had been converted, who were there in the prison. And on the way home, I asked him why he did that. I said, why are you taking the Lord's Supper to the Christians in the prison on Thursday? He said, well, because we can't meet on Sunday. We don't have an opportunity to meet on Sunday. So I just do it on Thursday because they can't meet on Sunday. I said, you don't have any authority to do that. You can't do that because that's not the authorized day. That's not the pattern contained in the New Testament. And the first thing I did is I stopped that practice. We did not do it anymore on Thursday. What I did is I used Thursday to teach them how to do it. I got them the emblems that they would need. I got with the prison and was able to get the emblems that they needed, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and leave it in the place where we met at, in the facility they gave us to meet. And I taught them how to do it. We went through the scriptures. I showed them what it means, why we do it, when we do it, and they would do it on the first day of the week. And I taught them how to do it, and then every Sunday they came together to worship God, to sing, and to pray, and to read and study from His Word, and then they took the Lord's Supper. They did it, and they did it on the first day of the week. There is no justification to change God's law because of circumstances. We don't have the authority to change it. We don't have the authority by God to change a day of the Lord's Supper. Now, even some I have seen in different bulletins that I get from across the country, there are some that are offering the Lord's Supper on the day of a funeral. Let's say somebody dies and they have a funeral on Tuesday, they offer the Lord's Supper on Tuesday. There's no authority for that. That's a violation of the biblical pattern. That's a violation of what God says. Now, those who don't do it do it on the Lord's Day, but don't do it every Lord's Day. Their argument is, well, if you did it every Sunday, it would lose its meaning and significance. What? Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that you could remember the Lord's death too much? That you could give too much remembrance of that death? That's preposterous. That's exactly why the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. Because he knew men were forgetful. Because he knew men would tend to forget what Jesus did for them when he died on the cross. He wanted them to ever remember that death was for sin. And that death was for them because we're all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And if we say we have no sin, we're lying. The truth is not in us. 1 John 1 verse 8. That's precisely why he did it on the first day of the week. So we would not forget. So we would always remember what great love and what great sacrifice Jesus gave in order for us to be redeemed from our sin. We don't have the authority to do it on any other day than the Lord's Day. And we don't have any authority to skip a Lord's Day. If we are going to follow the teachings of Scripture, if we are going to do it like the first century church did it, and we're going to follow the biblical pattern that's contained in the Bible, we're going to have unleavened bread, we're going to have unfermented fruit of the vine, grape juice, and we're going to do it on the first day of the week. Now, some have changed the emblems. One organization has bread and water. That's not the emblems in the example in the book of Matthew when it was instituted, nor in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, others, trying to be more modern, in one organization in Texas, they began to have Coke and hamburger instead of fruit of the vine, unleavened bread, and grape juice because the younger people like the other better. Well, that may be true, but we don't have the authority to do that. If I'm going to follow the biblical pattern, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to show deference to God and his will, if I'm going to show glory to him, if I'm going to exalt him, if I'm going to hold his name in honor, then I'm going to do it on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. I'm going to do it with unleavened bread and grape juice, and I'm going to do it every first day of the week, and I'm going to do it because that's the example, that's the pattern, that's what we are authorized to do. To do it any less, to do it more, to do it at another time, violates the biblical pattern and authority that we have in Scripture. What about it, dear friend, in the church that you attend? Do they partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Or do they have special Sunday communions? Do they do it on other days? Or do they use different emblems? Ask yourself, where is the biblical authority to do it any other way than what we looked at?